I want to say secondly there, thank God for heaven. Oh, thank God for heaven. I don't know if we... Man, I didn't plan on preaching too long, but I'm just telling you, I'm having a time this morning. I hope you are. Revelation chapter number 21. Revelation chapter number 21. Thank God for heaven. Amen. I don't want to stop on hell. Amen. That's doom and gloom, and that is true. There is the fact of a place called hell, and people that reject Christ is going there, but thank God there's also a place called heaven. And those who receive Christ are going there. Amen. And I'm just going to read the Scriptures to you and let them speak for themselves. And you just thank God, amen, if you're saved and know Him as your Savior this morning. But the Bible said in Revelation chapter number 21 and verse number 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband." You notice that the only thing that Abraham said about Lazarus, he said, "You used to be comforted, but now you're tormented, but now he's comforted." And I'm going to show you what kind of comforts he had. Look at what he said in verse number 3. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Well, won't that be a glad day when there will be no more crying? Amen. No more tears. Look at what the Bible said. Not only no more tears, and they'll be wiped away, but there shall be no more death. Boy, I tell you what, and I know it's a concern on his heart and mind. Brother Hall, they're laying in a hospital thinking about death. And I know he's not worried about dying in the sense of going to heaven. Amen. I know he knows God, and he's going to heaven when he dies. But I want to say death does have its torment of thought. Amen. But thank God when we do die, amen, there'll be no more death for us because we'll be in heaven. Be no second death for us. Thank God. No second death for us. One preacher said, be born once, die twice. Be born twice, die once. Amen. You better be ready. Look what he said in verse number 4 now there again. He said there shall be no more death, neither sorrow. Boy, there ain't no doubt in my mind that we could ask each and every one of some age this morning and there's some kind of sorrow in your heart and your life. Oh, but ain't there going to be a glad day when there'll be no more sorrow. I mean, all the tears will be wiped away. No more death and that death. And I mean, I ain't got time to preach these today, church. I'm telling you, I'd like to. But I ain't got time. We'll be here till tomorrow. Amen, without a doubt. But that death, oh, no more separation. No more pain. No more agony. No more distress. Sorrow will be removed from our heart and our life. Amen. No more party. What a day that will be. Hallelujah, there's coming a day. Thank God I'm about ready to shout. Hallelujah. But he said in verse number 4, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Amen. Hallelujah. For the former things are passed away. Amen. Anything that is miserable to you right now, anything that brings you sorrow and hurt right now, anything that brings pain and affliction in your life right now, I'll be gone when we get there. Thank God. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Let the hallelujahs roll. Amen. And he that sat upon the throne. Oh, what a day. Amen. We're going to get to see him. Amen. I know we're going to be caught up together with our loved ones. Meet them in the air as well. Oh, but what a day when we get to see him, church. What a day when we get to see the one that died for us. That bled and paid the price for our sin. And come to us in the person of the Spirit of God and convicted us. And drew us unto himself that we might be saved. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. What a day. What a day. Thank God, what a day. Hallelujah, what a glory. What a day to see him. Oh, what a day. Oh, what a day when we look upon his face. Oh, he that sat upon the throne. And he said, Behold, I make all things new. Oh, Lord, help me. Give me some energy. Amen. Oh, he said, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. There's no lie here, folks. Amen. There ain't no changing right here in the Word of God. Amen. What he said is going to come to pass. You mark that down. He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. It's over with. It's already done. Heaven's done. The plan is done. There's no changing of those plans over there. Amen. He's not going to get us all up there and say after 1,000 years or 10,000 years, I changed my mind. We're going to go back to the way it used to be. It's not going to be like that. Somebody said, what if somebody sins over there? It can't happen because no sin will enter into that city. The Bible says, you a Bible believer? Amen. No sin's entering that city. Amen. Nothing that worketh abomination's going over there. Amen. Thank God. There'll be no changes. It's done. It's done. Look what he said. He said, not only is it done, but he said, I am Alpha and Omega. He began it and he's going to end it. Hallelujah. The beginning and the end. He said, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Let me ask you something this morning quickly. Are you getting thirsty? Amen. I got the water right here. Amen. The Word of God, that is the water. Amen. Jesus said that water I give unto him, he'll never thirst again. It'll be a well of water springing up in him. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Thank God. Hallelujah. Are you thirsty this morning? If you are, won't you come to the water of life and get a drink? Amen. Hallelujah. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. We're not going to get left out. We're going to get it all. He ain't going to just give us a corner over in glory. We got it all. We can walk up and down the street of gold all we want to. Amen. I don't know that I interpret everything right about that holy city. You might not either. I don't know if there's going to be 12 different foundations. The Bible talks about 12 foundations. I don't know if there's going to be 12 different levels, so to speak, stories, if we can put it that way. But if there is, you'll have access to each and every one. You'll have access to get up there to the throne where the water of life flows out, Brother Jerome, and you'll be able to praise God, hallelujah, sit there and worship at His feet a little while. Thank God, amen. There's a water of life that flows from the throne of God. There's a crystal river, amen. There's a tree of life there on either side, and a tree with the 12 manner of fruits for the healing of the nation. It's all there. I ain't got time this morning to read through it all, but it's there. Amen. It's there. Thank God, everything you can imagine, and then a whole lot more. Amen. They came to Solomon and said, the half has not yet been told. And I want to say to you that we can't comprehend it all, but it's there. Oh, say, preacher, can I go? You sure can. If God deals with your heart and you'll submit to Him, you can. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, oh, the Lamb's wife. What a day. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Preacher, do you really believe that there's going to be all this stuff in heaven? I sure do. I sure do. Let me just read you. I'll try not to spam any, but let me just read you what it's going to be like. Hallelujah. Said in verse number 12, and had a wall great and high, had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. On the west, three gates. Thank God you can enter and go and come as you please. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, man, you can go out one side, run around, come in on the other. It doesn't matter. Say, preacher, you're crazy. Leave me alone. I'm liking it. Hallelujah. Thank God. I get tired after a lap or two down here, but thank God I won't get tired up there. Amen. Look at what he said. He said, in the wall of that city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. Oh. Can you imagine a stone of jasper that big? Mm. That's a big wall now. Come on. Amen. And the city was pure gold. Transparent. Pure gold is transparent. Amen. Say, what are we going to see, preacher? I don't know, because it ain't going to be nothing but Jesus in that city. Amen. I mean, you can look through the walls. You can look through the street that you're walking on. You can look through the crystal river. I mean, you look through it all because it's all pure. Amen. The old heaven and earth is going to be done away with. So everything around us is going to be pure. I don't understand it all and I can't explain it all, but thank God I'm going to be a part of it all. Amen. Hallelujah. If you can understand, explain it to me so I can get a little more excited about it. Hallelujah. And the Bible said the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. It won't even have fingerprints on it, ladies. Don't have to worry about cleaning it. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. Don't laugh at me. I'll probably mispronounce some of these. The third, a chalcedony. The fourth, an emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, a topaz. The tenth, a chrysoprasus. The 11th, a jacinth. The 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Can you imagine a gate made of pearl? I mean, just pearl. That's a pretty good size pearl, ain't it? Thank God. But you know that, I mean, we hold those things in high esteem down here, and I think God names these things and uses these things because they are precious. But they're not going to mean anything in value to us up there compared to what they do down here. It's going to be greater up there because we're going to be perfect and have all understanding. But that pearl is not going to have a monetary value up there. It's a spiritual value. Every several gate was of one. Every several gate. I believe, I don't know this, it's totally right. You can disagree with me. But he said there were three gates on each side. North, south, east, and west. I believe probably all three of those gates was of that one pearl. Amen. But nonetheless, we won't get into theology there. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold. And it was, as it were, transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein. Oh, but wait a minute, preacher. How are we going to worship God? Well, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple in it. What are you saying, preacher? The Bible says that our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, how much more will our body be a temple when it's glorified? When it's immortal and incorruptible. Amen. Let us hear what he said. He said, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Why do we not have to worry about shutting the gate? You mean we don't have to lock the gate? Oh no. You know why you don't have to lock the gate up there, Brother Jerome? Won't be no thief up there. I mean, I know we lock our houses in the daytime now. Amen. But used to, you didn't have to. Amen. And I know God protects us sometime in our foolishness because I've left my keys in my door and locked the door. Amen. With the house key in the door now. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, but I got to worry about those thieves down here. I got to worry about them breaking in and stealing down here. But up there, there won't be no thieves. It's all day. See, daylight reveals things. And I know there's not going to be any sin up there, but we're not going to have to worry about it. Because everything will be open and in clear view. Amen. Thank God. No sin, no thieves. Amen. No locks on the doors. Hallelujah. Not only that, but he said here in verse number 27, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I've not got time to really go into the details here, but study your Bible. Go home this afternoon. Go home this week. Study out what it means for those things that are defiling. Those things that work abomination. Amen. What is an abomination? And those who perform those who work that, that's working an abomination. Or maketh a lie. You know, y'all give me something. And I know that there's more to it than just probably what I'm fixing to say. But God, give me something this week about that lie. If I can find it real quick, I'll show it to you. I believe it's 1 John chapter number 2. The Bible said in 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 22, who is a liar? So if he tells us who a liar is, I believe that's what is a liar. I believe it's this type of person. That he that denied that Jesus is the Christ. Amen. Not just because you told a lie. You ought to get right. It ain't right to tell lies. You ought to speak truth, every one with his neighbor. Amen. Not bear false witness. Little Steve will get to that one of these days. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, but that lie is denying that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He said, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Verse number 22. I'm running out of voice. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Boy, what a place. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. Amen. Jesus. Amen. Which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he saith unto me, these things are faithful and true. Amen. Aren't you glad God can't lie? Yeah. Amen. He said, these things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Amen. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I'll leave off reading there. Oh, but aren't you glad there's a place called heaven? Yeah. Well, I might have got carried away a little bit and got off into the other side, but that's okay. I see two places. There's one called hell and one called heaven. Thank God I know I'm going to heaven. How about you? Do you know for sure this morning, without a shadow of a doubt, this afternoon, that if you died right now, that you're going to heaven? That place of total bliss. Amen. I want to conclude with this thought. Back in our text. In Luke's Gospel, chapter number 16. He said that Lazarus was comforted now. And he said in verse 26, beside all this, because he was tormented and Lazarus was comforted, he said, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Sinner, if you can hear the sound of my voice today, I hope the Spirit of God is dealing with you, and I hope you'll listen to His voice. Because once you die, it's too late. I don't care what the false prophets say. I don't care what false teachers say. I don't care what you've read, what you've thought, what you've heard. Once you die, it's too late. No matter how much money you got, how much money your family's got, how many prayers are offered for you, it's too late. I don't say that to be mean. I say that because it is my responsibility on the authority of the Word of God to tell you the truth. There's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. You know, I'm strictly speculating here, but Lazarus might have felt sorry for that old rich man. He might have wanted to go help him, but he couldn't. I don't know if we'll see those sinners in hell or not. You know, it's a first I'm talking about. Because there's coming a day God's going to wipe away all those tears, so we'll not be able to see that because it would bring tears in our life and sorrow. But can you see them now? Can we get a glimpse of them now today, church? Can we see sinners dying and going to hell now without hope and without God? We can't go there and help them and rescue them after they've dead and gone. All we can do is try to help those that are still alive. Verse number 27, I want to say that in conclusion, there's only one way of deliverance. I showed you there's two people in our text. Two persons. I showed you there's one appointment day that everybody's going to keep. I showed you there's two places, heaven or hell. You got a choice today. I hope you make the right choice, but there's only one way to make that choice. I want to say number one is before you die. Before you die. In verses 26 through 31, I'm not going to take time to read all the scriptures again right this moment. I'll read through them as I give you some thoughts. But once you die, it's too late. I've already made that statement. There's a gulf fixed. And I know at this point in time it was spanned by the Lord Jesus Christ. And in aspect of right now, it's not too late right now. It's not too late right now. But remember, that's right now. You're not promised of an hour from now. You're not promised of tomorrow. Let me read you some scriptures real quick. The Bible said in Proverbs in chapter number 27, amen, I can quote it pretty sure word for word, but let me read it to you and make sure that I don't mess up. Amen. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, and I'll get to this scripture in just a moment, but you can say what you're going to do tomorrow, and you can say, well, preacher, I'll get back here tonight and I'll get saved tonight. You might not. I'm not telling you you can't. I'm just telling you what the Bible said. You better not boast in that thought because it might not happen. It might not happen. It might be too late. You might walk out of them doors today, and God forbid that it happened, but something may happen to you that you might die, and if you're lost without God, you'll split hell wide open. I don't know if that's really a biblical phrase or not, because hell is enlarging itself for those wicked. But you'll fall off into hell if you die without Christ. Proverbs 29:1. Oh, preacher, you don't understand. God's given me plenty of time, and He's given me a lot of chances, and I'm young, and I want to live my life, and I want to do some things. I want to explore. I want to see the world. Go ahead, but I'll give you this verse. And it stopped there for a moment, a pause. Think about who He's talking to, you. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. hardening that neck, not allowing circumstances that God brings in your life, not allowing the Word of God that's preached to you to turn you to God. You keep hardening that neck. You keep being stubborn and self-willed. One day, it'll be too late. I don't know when that day is. You don't either. That's why God said not to boast in that. We don't know when it'll be too late. But I'm telling you, there ain't but one way of deliverance, and you better listen to it this morning. You better come to God before you die. James chapter number 4 and verse number 14. Most everybody in here can quote it. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. He goes on. I know he's talking to some saved folk there. But he goes on and says, for this cause we ought to say, if the Lord will, we'll do this or we'll do that. We'll go into that city or whatever. Hey, we're not promised, even as saved individuals today, church, we're not promised of tomorrow. We're not promised God's going to let us do what we think we're going to do here in the next hour or two. We're not promised the opportunity to come back to the house of God tonight. Brother Steve said this morning, told it right, God is not you don't deserve the opportunity that God has given you today. Let me put that away. God didn't promise you, amen, a second chance. But He's given you a chance today to hear the gospel. Many of you in here today, you've heard it in times past. But as God brought it to your heart and so made it real to you, don't say no to Him. 2 Corinthians 6:2, most everybody in here knows that as well. Behold, today is the accepted time. Now is the accepted time. Oh, today is the day of salvation. It's today that He'll succor you. He'll help you. He'll secure you in the things of the Lord if you'll come to Him. That's what the Bible's teaching us. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand what's going on in my life, and you don't understand what I want to do. You don't understand how good I've got it right now. Well, if you want to, turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. I'm sorry, I'm taking a long time this morning. But I've got a burden on my heart I've got to deliver. Luke 12, verse number 16, and He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Surely nobody here today or at the sound of my voice by the way of the radio that thinks you just got it too good to come to God right now. Think about our original text of Luke 16. The rich man thought he had it too good for God. He no doubt had religion. He called him Father Abraham, didn't he? He told him to testify unto his brethren, didn't he? He knew there was a way that they didn't have to go to that awful place, didn't he? And many of you out there today, you're at the sound of my voice. Hey, you know as well there is a place called hell. There is a place called heaven. Amen. And God's dealt with your heart. And you need to give yourself unto the Lord. You're not promised of tomorrow. You might think you got it too good right now and you want to enjoy life. You better turn to the Lord because you're not promised to tomorrow. Preacher, give me Bible. Okay. But God said unto him, thou fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Interpret Scripture with Scripture. Amen. He said here, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Can I ask you a question simply today? What if God said, okay, now's the time for you to die? Now, can I give this as an illustration? I know this might bother my mom a little bit, but I just felt impressed now to say this. This wasn't in my notes to say. But we don't know when that time to die is going to be. And I'll not deal with the length of the story. I'll just shorten it down to the last few minutes. We didn't know when Dad was going to die, but we knew it was close. We knew the time was really close. And I want to say to you today, sinner, the time is close. The time is at hand. Amen. I was in there and I was with him, and I'm not going into some details because somebody might have some weak stomachs, but I'd had to do some things with a suction and device, and I walked out to speak to the healthcare nurse's husband. He was in the vehicle. They'd come by to see Dad. They knew the time was close, and she'd come by to see Dad, and I knew these individuals from where I used to work. And I'd walked out, talked with him about 10 minutes maybe. I came back in. Some things had taken place while I was out there, and my brother had just suctioned Dad again, and he needed to be suctioned again, and I picked up the device and suctioned him, and when I suctioned him, he opened up his eyes, and he looked straight at me, and a smile came on his face, and he was gone. Just that quick.
Amen.
That quick. Gone. And I know you think you're young and you think you're strong and you think everything's good and you're healthy. And I know he wasn't healthy. But God is no respecter of persons. And God is not going to give you an extension of time just because you want to go and experience things. Amen. I believe in the prayers of God's people. And I believe what the Bible says about how if we'll honor our parents and be obedient to our parents, God will give us length of days. But I'm going to tell you, you better not abuse it. And you better not presume upon it. Because one day, whether you die physically or not, one day God might say, that's enough. I'm not bothering you no more. And I've got scripture to back that up. I'm not going to take time to go there. I've done preach too long today. But in Proverbs chapter number 1, he said, I'm going to laugh when their calamity comes. I'm going to mock when their fear comes. When desolation cometh as a whirlwind. Just all of a sudden, blow up and you're gone. Spiritually speaking, you might not die physically. But God might have said, okay, that's enough. That is enough. There is a sin unto death. Amen. Let's go on. I want to say we need to get right with God before we die. There's one way. And the one way of deliverance, not only before we die, but through preaching. I know these are not fancy and alliterated, but that's all right. Through preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:17-21. I'll not take time to go over there and read all the verses of Scripture, but he said the preaching of the cross, it's to them that perish foolishness. For those of us who are saved, it is the power of God. To them that believe. But he said in verse number 21, he said, for the Lord hath chosen by the foolishness, or it pleased the Lord by the foolishness of preaching to save them that will believe and call on his name. You've heard preaching today. You've heard preaching in days gone by. So you have that privilege. If God's dealing with your heart. But that's the only way. By the preaching of the gospel. It's not going to be through puppet stories. It's not going to be through scare tactics. It's not going to be through works. Water baptism. We can name it all. We've heard it all before. It's through the preaching of the gospel. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter number 10. Oh, church, I'm telling you, I really ought to take time to go over and read it all. But verse 1 all the way down through 17, Paul said, brother, my heart's desire is that my kindred, my people, will be saved. All Israel will be saved. We need a burden, don't we? He goes on, and I know that we've got the easy believism crowd that likes to take these verses of Scripture and use them and make people a twofold more child of hell. And I'm not trying to do that today, but it's still Bible. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And he goes on and says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In verse number 13, how shall they call upon the Lord in whom they have not heard, in whom they have not believed? How shall they hear without a preacher? And God has sent you a preacher. He's preached to you the word of God. He's dealt with your heart. Why don't you call upon him? So then faith. Can't get saved without faith, can you? I'll show you that here in just a second. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Lastly, not only through preaching. Notice in our text, let me give you that thought there out of the context. Luke 16. He said, Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Hey, it's God's way. Not your way, not my way. It's God's way. He's not in my box. He's not in your box. Amen. He will do according to His Word. Amen. His Word goes far above His name, the Bible said. He is exalted above His name. And a man is only as good as his Word. And so is our true and living God. He's only as good as His Word. And He said He will not go against His Word. And He'll save you, amen, through the convicting work and power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He said, let them hear Moses and the prophets. That's preaching. They hear by the Word of God. And I want to say, lastly, that way of deliverance is through faith. And I don't preach these to be three ways of salvation. I'm saying it's the one way. But it's got to come this way before you die. Hearing the preaching and that being convicted of the Spirit of God. Amen. And then God granting that faith in grace and repentance that you can call upon His name. The Bible said in Ephesians 2, and please bear with me just a little bit, all right? Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 1. I feel like it's necessary to read it. Amen. And you had the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. If you're without Christ this morning, you're dead in trespasses and sins. But the Holy Ghost will quicken you, bring you to a knowledge, bring you to a light that you can understand what God is trying to do for you. He said, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Let me ask you something. Who's leading your footsteps right now? Who are you following? I'm not saying we can't sin against God. And I'm not saying that any of us are exempt from going back to the world for a moment of time and doing things that's in the world. But I'm saying, who are you following? The stipulation that Christ give, come and follow me. Him is what He's referring to. He didn't say follow the world. You used to follow the world when you were of your natural, depraved, lost self. You followed the self. You followed Satan. You done what he wanted you to do. Among whom also we all had our conversation times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What's your desire today? Are you wanting to do what you want to do? Or do you want to do what God wants you to do? Have you got Scripture to back up what you say that you're going to do? I don't need your opinion. I don't need some kind of sentimental value that you might hold to try to make a thing and a decision in your life to do something. Scripture. Some of you may know it and some of you may not, but I almost left here a year ago. And I was ready to leave. I've been praying. And I don't want to say too much, but my heart is in preaching and pastoring. And I have a desire to be doing that. And if you're called to preach, you can understand that. If you're not called to preach, you can't understand that. But I was ready to go, and I had a preacher call me and ask me to come and preach at a church and take a church, if it be the Lord's will. And I told him I was coming. I'd done made up my mind. I was going. But can I share something with you? The Bible said in Jeremiah, in chapter number 42, and verse number 10, if ye will still abide in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. And I've not got time to go into the context of the Scripture this morning, but God said, I don't want you to go there. You stay where you're at until I put you somewhere.
Amen.
Amen. My desire is to be doing and pastoring for the glory of God. But I've got to obey God. And I don't care, and I use as an illustration today, folks, I don't care what our desires may be, and I don't care how much we might feel like it's right to do. We better follow what God said, follow us. Preaching. And it's by grace through faith. That's what I'm dealing with. I'm sorry, I run a rabbit there maybe a little bit. But he said, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Plain and simple. There's things that goes along with that grace. But it's by grace. It's by God giving you that privilege. That opportunity. Him loving you. And saying, okay, I'm dealing with your heart. I'll save you if you'll come to me. He said, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them.
Amen.
And I could go on, but I'll not do that for the sake of time this morning. Romans chapter number 2 and verse number 4. Acts chapter number 20, verse number 21. Acts 20:21 says, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our text. Abraham said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, they'll not be persuaded though one rose from the dead. There's one way to salvation today if you're a sinner. And that's through the saving grace of God. Grace through faith. Love, mercy, and grace. It's all Him. Let's stand.